Are you thinking about this, ladies and gentlemen? Are you thinking, wait a minute, hold up. You mean to tell me that all this time I've been going back and back again, thinking that I was going back just because I was just enjoying it, when all the time they've been doing things to draw me in, hook me, bring me back? I'm thinking I'm just going back, and actually I'm being brought back over and over and over again. But let's learn some more about it. Let me just share this with you. Some of you, I'm sure, went online and checked out this week's guests and topics and may have seen that Betty Jones from Mock Academy was scheduled to join us today. We've had to reschedule, and so that will be probably in about 2 weeks that she and I will be getting together, and I'll give you the exact date. It'll be at 1:30 again, but I'll give you the exact date. But roughly in 2 weeks, we'll be getting together. We did need to reschedule, so my apologies for any inconvenience. Those of you who were really looking forward to how we have another local community builder sharing with us how she and the organization she works with builds, we'll still have that conversation. Sometimes that happens, as you know. It just becomes necessary sometimes to reschedule. We go with the flow. We'll be all right. So I'll let you know when. Dr. Craig Albert, professor of political science at Augusta University, will be joining me, and I'll be speaking with him this Thursday at 1 o'clock. And we're going to be talking about some of the issues that have to do with America's economy and America's security, particularly when it comes to cyber security. And we're going to focus on some of the decisions, some of the policies that our president, President Trump, is making, and how some of those decisions will impact our economy and our security. Dr. Craig Albert, featured on a number of networks, major networks, and he'll be joining us this Thursday at 1 o'clock, March 15th. Be on the listen out. You can go to speakingwith.com, check out this week's guests and topics, and that'll give you what we have planned for the week. And, of course, you can always also, while you're at speakingwith.com, check out the online segments. You can listen online truly at your convenience. You can use your smartphone because it is optimized for smartphone use. You can listen on your laptop, whatever pad you have, whatever desktop you may have, doesn't matter. You can listen just by going to speakingwith.com. While you're there checking out this week's and guests, click on the link that's labeled Listen Online at Your Convenience, and just scroll down to the name of the guest or the name of the topic that you're interested in. Click on that name, and then you can click on the segments that you're interested in hearing. Speakingwith.com. All right, let's hear a little bit more about, well, should we call it a game? This game that's being played to have people hooked on the tech?
So ticks the boxes in social and visual inside of our brain as well, which we have evolved to like. We've been trained to respond to social interaction by dopamine, by a social interaction reward from that dopamine, and by each other. When we interact with each other out here in the real world, we get that same dopamine reaction. And the brain is too stupid to understand the difference when we see it online. So a marketing firm, Rhythm One, formerly called Radium One, released a study that said, quote, every time we post, share, like, comment, or send an invitation online, we are creating an expectation. Emotion is a big driver, and dopamine helps drive that. Expectation of a new video release is exciting. When you know that your favorite YouTuber is about to release a video, that's great. When your favorite television show is about to come on, that's exciting too, but not as strong as things on the internet where they're designed to know that you're feeling that way as well. So now we get to the third H, hella data. So we had happiness, habituation, hella data. Devs, or developers of apps and websites, they use the data of your dwell time, how long you're looking at a thing without actually interacting with it, watch time, how long, say, you watch a video, session time, which means as soon as you log on to Facebook servers and start looking at all their stuff, and then when you leave Facebook servers, they look at all of that. They look at your likes, your loves, whether you laughed at a thing, whether you, you know, interacted with it in a different way, whether you commented, whether you scrolled by it, messages that you're sending, emails that you're sending, notification clicks. Your attention is worth a lot of money to them. So they take that data and they use it to try and get more of your attention. Plus, we know from earlier in this piece that brains get rewards from things. They also get rewards from social interactions, little puzzles, sexy things, anticipation, pleasing sounds, music, cute visuals like babies and friends, dogs and stuff like that, laughter and tears and all sorts of other social interactions. And knowing that, they can mine all of the data of the 3.2 billion people that are on the internet, and they find all sorts of correlations. We use the overlap of what we know that we like, of the dopamine in our brains being released in certain ways, and then they program things to fit it. Sounds a lot like games and social media, right? They don't always admit that they do this, and every time the different developers and programmers and groups update a game or they release a new thing, they're testing something. Whether that thing is a behavioral science or not depends on the website. You know, we can't say that every website does this all the time. But there are lots of websites, especially the ones that traffic in attention, that are using these techniques constantly. Actually, to be honest, Seeker does this. Facebook lets us A/B test different concepts. So we can release the same video onto Facebook with two different thumbnails or two different titles and see which one performs better. It's like a micro experiment that we can run on you guys. So to that end, let's kind of back up and go back to that awkward elevator interaction. Right? You didn't feel that vibrate of your phone, so you know you didn't get a notification, but you want to pull that phone out anyway, right? It's awkward in here. I got to pull my phone out. I'm in a ride share with other people. I got to pull my phone out. I got to put my headphones in. I got to look at this thing. Maybe next time, just for fun. Resist the feeling to pull it out. Resist the feeling to take your phone out of your pocket and look at it. Think about that feeling. Where did that feeling come from? Think about how it feels. And then maybe think about how you've judged or discussed addiction in the past. Researchers have found that a lot of people who feel addicted to their phones and addicted to these games, they have similar discussions as people who are addicted to gambling. And gambling has been studied a lot when it comes to the brain. So just think about gambling and how it relates to this for a second. Games like at casinos have little sound effects, they have little graphical sparkles, you progress through the games and you slowly get rewards, but slowly and managed. It does sound a lot like mobile gaming. And you can actually fight this. Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram and all of these games and websites, they make things that are time-based so that you return to them, like events and birthdays, coins and, you know, build times where you have to wait 20 minutes and come back. You gotta wait for that new restaurant or whatever. You know, you gotta wait until your campsite's been updated in Animal Crossing. So the idea is they can get you to return and anticipate that reward. So pro tip, if you wanna get over your internet obsession, turn all those notifications off. It's simple as that. Only open an app when you want to open it. And try and keep track of that. How often are you opening these apps? Maybe put some of the apps that you feel like you're addicted to on a different page of your phone or in a folder, or make it so you can't easily access them. So you have to actually make an effort. You notice when it's happening. It becomes less of a kind of muscle memory. Going cold turkey is not really great for any kind of obsession, but you can gradually decrease your time until you feel like it's a healthier amount. And eventually, maybe you'll be in the elevator and won't feel the pull of your pocket. I did a lot of this and it helped me a lot. If you have any questions or want other advice, feel free to tweet at me. At least if I'm going to be screen addicted, I kind of want to better myself. So I put learning and reading apps on my main page so that I read the news a lot more. Now I'm feeling like I'm a little news obsessed, but you know, it's a constant journey.
How about that? The news, you know, it may not be quite as bad as some of the other stuff, but how many of you feel like you're addicted even to the news? You know, whether it's news that you really consider really helping you learn some things, keep up with what's going on around the world. How many of you just are addicted to it because it feeds something in you that well, just feed something in you. You really are attuned to grabbing hold of negative stuff that puts the worst into you, but you got to hear it. All right, when we come back, let's take a look at this whole question about, are we partners for life?